Greetings, victims. For those of you who delight in dread, who fantasize about fear, who glorify gore, welcome. You have found the place where the horror returns. Listeners, beware. This podcast contains major plot spoilers and the foulest of language. Join us in celebrating the old and the new, the best and the worst in horror.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Horror Returns. I'm Lance. With me, as always, my co-host, Philip and Brian. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Allergies, man.
Yeah. Actually, I am getting over some shit, so
yeah.
I may sound weird today.
Feel like I'm here in the, taking my own life in my hands in the Horror Returns studios with fucking Typhoid Marty and Typhoid Michael or something over here. That sound like a couple of fucking sick bastards, man. What's going on? And
can I be Marty?
What is it, Brian?
Can I be Marty?
Typhoid Marty. I love it. Deal. You guys have that's springtime, right? Springtime in Alaska, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much most of the majority of the snow's gone, depending on what part of town you're at. So, of course, allergies got to kick in immediately.
No respite from the allergies, huh?
No. And I had never had allergies when I was younger. It's just when I got older, it just started.
Dude, me too. That's a weird thing, huh? I wonder how that works.
Old age sucks.
guys, hey.
The government is fucking with you, man.
Oh, no. Let's not go
it's
there.
It's the fluoride, it's drinking water and shit.
Oh, man. Well, hey, we don't have any new patrons, unfortunately, from our promotion. But I want to give a shout out to our main man, Al Ramzer. He's upped his patronage.
What?
Yeah, he wants to get another T-shirt and a shitload of koozies and
a
pop
figurine.
Oh, that
was a pretty good deal, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's keep it going. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
For at least another week or two.
Yeah, at this rate, another year or two, right? Come on.
But
and also,
I want to say thank you to all the followers on our main Facebook page, because I believe sometime in February, we were around 4,000, and we jumped all the way up to, we're about to hit 18,000.
What? How does that happen?
I don't know.
Brian, you did something, dude. You sold your soul to the devil or something. What's the secret?
Well, we'll talk about a movie about the devil in a minute, but no, I didn't. I gotta keep my soul.
Okay. All right.
Zuckerberg's hoarding souls because he doesn't want to have one of his own.
I would actually believe that.
But
you guys ready?
Real quick, the goal I want us to set is I think we can do it by June. I would like us to hit 25,000 followers.
1,000,000 followers.
Hey, at the rate we're going, that's not unreachable at all, Brian.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Because we were at barely 4,000 for the life of this show. And then in the past few months, it just skyrocketed.
And if you think the show sucks, come on and make it better.
There you go.
Let's go,
man. That's
our
challenge. Yeah, you can.
Happy to hang out with anybody.
You can bitch about the show all you want, as long as you promise to come on as a guest. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Don't hide behind your keyboard or your phone.
Ooh, we don't like that. Brian, you want to start out with Cool of the Week?
Yes, I actually finished a series.
And was it Fallout or something?
Yes, Fallout.
Okay.
I loved it.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, cool. I was into it. I don't think there was a letdown with any episode. The characters were great, and the way the season ended, I'm so happy they renewed it for a second season. I think second and third season.
Nice. All right.
I can't get my wife into it, dude.
Really?
She's like, yeah. I forced her to watch the first episode or two, and then she went right back to watching The Walking Dead for the 15th time.
Jesus Christ.
If that first episode didn't get her, then I don't.
I'm saying.
No kidding, man. Well, look, that's my cool of the week, too.
It's awesome in that show.
But fucking A, dude. The ghoul. Okay, so look, I've seen just the first episode, okay? And I did that on purpose. I was going to go to the second one. I'm like, you know what? There was so much shit in that. I want to savor it. I'm a binger, but I want to savor this and make it last for a while. So, you know, Jesus Christ, just the first episode. All right, you got all that shit happening underground, and then all of a sudden you go to, like, these group that are kind of like knights, but they're using technology that's been forgotten or something, and then you go to this Wild West town and they dig this dude out of the ground. What the fuck is going on?
That opening got me.
Yeah.
And I, for the life of me, thought it was set in like the 50s.
And then seemed that way, didn't it?
Like 2078 or something. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, it's very like alternate reality stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm liking it. Have you guys stuck around to watch that whole end credits song, right?
Yeah.
that's hilarious, man.
I don't know.
Oh, is it Richard Cheese, Brian? Sounds like him.
Oh, is it? Okay, that's
I awesome. Think so. You gotta check I it like out, him. Dude.
And then I also checked out because we were watching Abigail for the show. Angus Cloud, who passed away.
Yes.
He had another movie come out that he filmed. I think this and Abigail was one of the final two things he filmed, and it was Your Lucky Day.
Yeah, Netflix. I saw that.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Kind of questions, if you had the opportunity to get millions of dollars from a lottery ticket, what would you do for the ticket? Mm-hmm. How far would you go? So I thought it was pretty good. Other than Angus, I didn't really recognize anybody from the cast. So it was kind of an unknown cast, which was, I think, a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So pretty good story. Well,
there was a couple of the old guys that were recognizable, right?
You talking about the people that were coming after the ticket?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple guys I kind of recognized, but they were more so, oh, you're that guy from
that movie. So. Yeah.
So I recommend that one. And then I also got a chance to check out, which is now on Shudder, Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, is it on Shudder now? Damn it. Yeah. I really want to watch that one.
Fantastic movie. It just, I really felt like I was watching something from the 70s, just the way it was
filmed. They did a great job.
They even cropped off the sides. They had, you know, the black bars on the sides because, you know, everything wasn't full screen HD 4K like it is now.
right.
And the still can't say David Dalsmalchian.
Sure. We'll take it. There you go.
He was great. I really bought him as a late night show host. And the little possessed girl, she was great too. Because the moment she appeared on screen, just the way she was looking at the camera, I was like, whoa.
I'm starting to really like that dude as an actor.
Yeah, he's under, I believe this is his first actual, like, he's the lead.
Starring role?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's kind of great in everything that he's in.
Yeah.
he usually plays kind of like a creepy guy, but in this one, he played this part perfectly, right? Like, he's Johnny Carson, basically.
They even brought up The Grove.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they were pulling from, like, some real...
Bohemian Grove shit.
We don't need
to or at least real theories, conspiracy theory type stuff for the movie. So, yeah, I recommend it. Lance, since you're doing Fallout for your cool of the week, I'll do Late Night with the Devil for mine.
Nice. All right. Well, Brian, what did you think about The Skeptic? in that. He stole the show at times.
He was great. He was just, I love the way they were showing how he was just taking apart every little thing. He was like, oh, you did this, and you use hypnotism to fool the crowd, and there's a logical explanation for everything, and then he kind of gets his in the end.
That's the problem with the skeptic mindset, is like eventually the skepticism, you have to reach further to find that than you do the actual truth. Like the UFO thing. Like,
absolutely. Yes.
Are they aliens? I don't know. But there's definitely something there. Like, that's a real thing.
Yeah. People trying to say that it's like woo-woo or whatever, right? When there's hard evidence, like film of planes chasing something and things like that. Yeah.
And like legitimate military pilots that are like, yeah, there's these things out there. We don't know what the fuck they are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the truth is always somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah, there's always three sides of the truth. This person's, the other person's, and the actual truth.
That's
fuck
true.
Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah.
But I thought everybody was great in it. Even the little sleazy, like, studio exec guy that was just we just keep going with it. You know, it's good for the ratings.
Good for the ratings. He was chain smoking through the whole movie, Brian.
Yeah. Well, it was the 70s.
True. Yeah. Everybody chain smoked, right? Yeah. Like 3-year-old toddlers were walking around chain smoking.
Yeah. So if anybody hasn't seen it, I 100% recommend it. It came on Shudder, I think, last Friday. So check it out.
Well, there you go, Philip. Late night with the devil.
Yeah. I know what I'm doing after this. All right. Well, as always, I've got all kinds of movies bouncing around in my head that I can't remember what I watched. But I did, since we were doing Let the Right One In, I watched Let Me In right after I watched that one. And it's pretty much a shot-for-shot remake. I'll probably get into that a little more in the review. But still enjoy it. Great movie. And I checked out The Gentlemen on Netflix. It's
the series.
Yeah, it's a series with what's his name, the British guy, Guy Ritchie.
The British guy. That's gonna give you shit. Like
80% of Hollywood right now.
Well, I know, but you know, Guy Ritchie, dude, he's quintessential, and it feels, especially the first few episodes, feel very, very Guy Ritchie. You know,
have you ever seen the movie?
Gotta see it.
Is that the one with Matthew McConaughey?
Yes. Yeah, and Charlie Hunnam.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is that what that's based off?
Yeah, it's just a continuation.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. No, I remember the movie vaguely, but I remember it being very Guy Ritchie too. Man, he's got a certain style. He's like a British Quentin Tarantino. He's very dialogue heavy and you know, British gangsters and stuff. Yeah. And he does it well. I like it. It's cool. A lot like Snatch.
I will definitely check it out.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. They've got the whole gypsy boxers. Oh, I'm sorry, travelers. Not gypsy.
Yes. Gypsy boxers, I gotcha.
and all that stuff in it, man. It's pretty entertaining. And the lead character is that he was four in that God damn it, that movie series, The Divergent. Stuff.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, he played like the lead in that one. I didn't know he was actually British.
Well, like I said,
that makes sense.
80 probably 90% of Hollywood majority of movies you're watching, you end up finding out that person's British or Australian.
He carries it well. There's a few people that you've seen in there. The groundskeeper is from a lot of other Guy Ritchie movies. Yeah, it was a fun time. I liked it.
And Giancarlo Esposito is in there, right? Let me guess.
Oh yeah, well, he's in everything right now.
New Sam Jackson. That guy does not. To anything.
this down could literally be his character from Breaking Bad. Just like
that's later. About what I figured.
Still haven't started. the series on AMC where he's the car driver, the transporter type driver. Was it Parrish?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Parrish.
Yeah, Parrish. Yeah, the guy's everywhere.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in every, like, he was in the movie we watched today.
Of course he
every
was.
Every time I turn the TV on, he's on it.
So is it going to be the gentleman, Philip, or?
Yeah, that's my call of the week.
Okay, the gentleman. Brian, can you hit us with some news, man?
Let me see if I can pull some up, because it seemed like it was another slow week.
Oh, no.
Seems like they hit all the news all in 1 week, and then the rest of the month is just nothing.
A little bit here, a little bit there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, summertime's coming up, though, so we should get some news soon, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm expecting when San Diego Comic-Con hits.
Yeah, that's always
that
the time.
That is true. Yep.
Can't think. Zach Krieger's follow-up to Barbarian is called Weapons. We talked about that with Pedro Pascal. I believe he's... No, that's the movie he had to drop out because he's grieving.
Yes, somebody dropped out. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, Julia Garner from Ozark has joined the cast.
Is that She's a pretty blonde, damn good actress. Yeah.
The blonde girl?
Yeah, the Ruth. little tiny thing.
Yeah, I like her. She's pretty good.
Let's see. The Strangers Chapter 1 gets an R rating, which is a good thing. I was hoping for not a PG-13 rating. So.
That would have been terrible. I like, by the way, Brian, I love your May and June schedule, dude. You're hitting us with new movies almost every week. Can't complain about that.
It's that season.
Tis the season. I got you.
I think we talked about this one before when we reviewed the trailer. M. Night Shyamalan's daughter, Ishana Night Shyamalan's directorial debut, The Watchers, gets moved up to June 7th from June 14th.
Okay.
That one looks interesting.
I saw that trailer. I'm curious. Is it going to be like that Twilight Zone episode where they're basically in an alien zoo? That's my guess. They're being watched by aliens, like in their zoo on the spacecraft or something like that.
Well, I know it takes place in Ireland, in the forest.
Oh, then it's going to be the little people.
I am pairing it with Unwelcome, since we've seen it, but we did not review it.
All right, you hear that? You hear that, Tim? We're going to talk about Unwelcome, one of your favorite fucking movies from last year.
We got an official cast update for 28 Years Later. It is Ray Fiennes, Jodie Comer, and Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Okay.
So it looks like no Charlie Hunnam or... I think there
no
some...
Jax, huh?
You think he would have used his actual British accent since he's in a British movie?
You would hope so. Well, he's been in British movies before where he had an American accent, right?
Yeah, it's so weird.
He's a weird guy,
it's not
an
American accent.
Like, no.
The American dialect is so diverse that you can kind of do whatever, and you're just like, sure, we'll roll with it. That makes sense. But then when you realize he's British, you're like, okay, I get it.
If you go back and watch, like, Sons of Anarchy, the scenes where he, like, gets, like, really emotional and, like if he's, like, angry or sad and he's, like, yelling, you hear it. You hear the British come out.
The British comes out, huh?
Yeah, you hear the whatever accent he's doing for Jax. You hear it break when he gets emotional.
Well, I guess technically that's what a lot of American accents are, is just like British and, you know, that Great Britain area, like transgressing over here and turning into different things.
Yeah.
Like the whole Southern accent is actually like Scottish, I think.
I can see that.
My wife was watching a series that she found. I don't know if it's on Netflix or something like that, but it was called Young Americans, like an older series. You all heard of it?
Nah.
And he showed up in that. He had his British accent. I think he was like a British student at an American school or something like that. And she was watching him like, that's Jax. But he had his British accent for that.
Well, speaking of Guy Ritchie, they did that stupid King Arthur movie, which was dumb.
That's terrible.
You but it was like actually kind of fun.
You didn't like Jack's shadow boxing?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like what they did with it. I had fun with that movie. It was a stupid concept, and it probably should have never been made, but I had fun with it.
Well, whatever works for you, man. I thought it was fucking horrible.
I like Guy Ritchie movies, man.
I think that's it. Not really seeing anything.
We'll have a bigger news week next week, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Maybe. All right, Philip Bryant. If I know Brian at all, I know that he's about to bring us the big, the small, and sometimes the very, very weird.
Hey,
Brian, what's our first new trailer tonight, man?
The Exorcism, starring Russell Crowe.
Is that Russell Crowe playing Russell Crowe?
As I picked it up and looked at it, and I was like, didn't we already watch this movie?
You know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
It's like if they made a movie out of an episode of that Shudder series, Cursed Film.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, totally, man. Totally.
Which I'm kind of digging the premise that he's this actor in a movie and strange shit is happening and people are trying to figure out what's going on, and it just really gave me Cursed Film vibes. And from what I understand, this film is going to be R-rated.
Yeah, so. No, I love the concept. When I said, didn't we already watch this? It was because he was just right in that Exorcism movie.
Father Amorth or whatever, right?
Yeah.
this could be like a continuation of that movie. Like,
I thought it was.
They just said cut, and then...
Right.
I like what they did with the concept, though. That's cool. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, now it's interesting. I'll totally watch this.
Maybe the director went full Uwe Boll and like filmed three different movies using the same characters and the same sets and everything, and this is like the second in the trilogy.
Trying to see who the director is.
This is like the Blubberella of the three, right?
Well, because I never really gave it a legitimate shot, that last one with Russell Crowe in it. But it's
because Exorcist.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't hate it. It's just very by the numbers.
I found a shit copy when it first came out, and my daughter wanted to watch it. And so we turned it on. And after watching what we could from that, you know, movie, you know, video camera in a movie theater version of it. It was. I was like, I kind of don't want to watch this movie anymore.
Oh boy.
On Netflix also.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's on Netflix, and I haven't even checked it out. I'm like,
It made decent.
I saw enough.
I hear they're trying to make a trilogy out of it.
Like still?
Yeah. No, it made money out of its theater.
Uh huh.
I didn't think it was bad. It's just like I said. It's very by the numbers. Exorcism.
Yeah.
Religious horror.
Yeah, so. You got to do something cool with horror at this point.
Yeah, like like what Immaculate did. Or like what Late Night with the Devil did, for that matter.
Yeah. That's something different and creative. Hmm? Well, that should be what horror is, creative, right?
Let me see the cast. Sam Worthington, Samantha Mathis, Adam Goldberg, Chloe Bailey, David Hyde Pierce.
Huh.
Adrian Pastar. He looks like that guy from that show Heroes, the politician guy that can fly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the brother to
the guy from,
for crying out loud.
The guy that was in that show that Ammon used to give the greatest reviews of.
This Milo? Is Us or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Milo. Bad Milo. Yeah, it was This Is Us. Right.
Rocky
right. Ammon used to walk us through every episode. He took an hour and 20 minutes to describe a 1 hour episode.
But it was like the greatest review of a show that I want to watch.
I've seen an episode here or there. I understand the appeal. I'm not excited about watching it though.
Phil, if you would have heard his reviews, you just like, even if you were watching the show, you would not watch the show just to listen to his description of each episode.
There you go.
I'll try
instead of the episode. I've done that before.
I don't even have time to put up the re-uploads that I've had sitting on my desktop for the last 3 months. So I probably won't have time. But if I do, Philip, I'll find you one of the episodes to listen to and send it to you.
All right. I don't even watch the show.
You don't need to. Just listen to his review.
All right.
There you go. Better than the show. That's for damn sure.
The Exorcism comes to theaters June 7th.
Let's do it. All right. I like this concept.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And on to our final trailer, which is a movie I felt like we just talked about. And then
you covered it. You covered it in news maybe 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Which is M. Night Shyamalan's Trap, starring Josh Hartnett.
It sounds fucking horrible.
You didn't like the trailer?
Nah, not really. Really? Nah.
Why? You're like you've been like the biggest M. Night.
I know. That's what worries me.
Well, you guys
talk about it. I want to hear what y'all think.
I kind of dig that they already told us that he's the killer.
Yeah.
And he knows and people are getting so upset that, oh, they gave us the twist already. No, that's the hook to get you in.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. That's not the twist. You know that. Yeah. It's going to be something insane.
And I think Josh Hartnett is an underrated actor.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, totally.
You think he's a good actor or a bad actor?
I'm listening. Let me be quiet.
No.
I'm going on mute now.
Come here to hear your opinion, Lance. You can't.
No, dude, Josh Hartnett. What's one really great thing he's done? I mean, this guy's not going to win an Oscar anytime soon.
He was good in Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was serviceable. Even Dane DeHaan wasn't very good at Oppenheimer.
I don't even remember him in Oppenheimer.
I know.
Dane DeHaan is Dane DeHaan in every movie.
Heroin junkie, right?
He's his own character. He's just playing himself.
Gotcha. Well, I'm digging the concept. I'm anticipating the twist.
All right. Well,
and I like to see that. I can see. They're showing us how he's like the typical dad telling the dad jokes and doing the fist bumps and being a good dad, taking his daughter to her first concert and stuff like that. I'm anticipating the other side that we're told that he is this, the butcher, this serial killer.
Sure.
And I'm just looking forward to the twist. Cause
that's, I guarantee you that shit's revealed in the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And the whole movie is going to be about him trying to avoid the police.
And I kind of want to see how he manages.
Eludes.
Yeah. And I also want to find out how did they know the killer is going to be at this concert? Lots of little things. I just want to know that I hope the movie gives us. Throughout the story.
Mm-hmm. So, I got you, man. Yeah, fair enough.
On the surface, it looks like your run of the mill crime mystery thriller where, you know, he's trying to evade the police and they're slowly going to release bits of what actually happened in the story until you get to the end. And then maybe there's going to be a twist like, oh, the good guy isn't really who you think it is, kind of a thing. Yeah. But knowing M. Night Shyamalan, this could end up being some whole, like he's playing a fucking video game or something.
I heard a cool theory that he's not the butcher. that the Butcher is another killer that he just happens to be at the same concert with.
Oh, and maybe he's...
he's kind of worried about him getting caught because they're looking for a different person.
Hmm. Or maybe he's trying to find out too. I don't know. Well, and we're just trying to figure out the plot of the movie.
Yeah, what if the Butcher is the guy on his phone that he's got chained up?
Yeah, like he could be the good guy in this situation, which I'm sure he probably is. Or if you think that he's the bad guy, I'm telling you, it's going to be something fucking unhinged at the end of it. Like, weird. It's going to be some alternate reality fucking VR thing.
Yeah, and never tell the t-shirt guy what's going on. That guy's not keeping it a hush on it.
Yeah, that's true. His job is to talk to people.
So, Lance, what did you not like about this?
You know, I'm gonna reserve judgment until we see the movie, because I know we're going to, right?
Yeah. So,
you know, it's either going to be like spectacularly good or really bad.
You know what?
It doesn't look really bad.
It's probably going to be good. I'll give you that, guys. I'll give you that. It's probably going to be a good movie, but I don't know. Like I said, I when you talked about it in news, Brian, I said it's almost like the exact same setup for the end of the Mr. Mercedes book, the Stephen King book. So maybe I'm just like thinking, ah, shit, you know, they're redoing something that they've already done in a book, but it's a different movie, different story. So fuck it. All right. I'll give it a shot.
That's what I'm saying. Being M. Night that's directing that, you know, it's not going to be what you think it is. Like, he's not copying somebody else. That's not his style. He's a creative dude.
True, true.
And I'm looking at the cast list. The only one I'm seeing here that I recognize, his other daughter is playing the singer.
What's his other daughter's name? I'm curious.
His other daughter. Okay. That's the one I'm confused with this one.
I'm going to probably mispronounce Salika Shyamalan.
Okay.
She doesn't have the night.
But what was the other one? Ishina?
Yeah, Ishana or something
Ishana,
like that.
Ishana Knight Shyamalan, is that her name?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's the film director. This one that's in this movie playing a singer is actually a singer in real life.
Oh, look at that. So
I think I read somewhere the music in this is going to actually be her music.
Okay.
That's cool. Hey, man, those Indian families pushing their kids. This is what happens.
Yeah. So we need to be something up for greatness. Right? Yep. This is why we're getting behind, but that's another conversation.
So Trap comes out August 9th in theaters. Well, hopefully you'll like it, Lance, because I'm kind of shocked because a lot of people hated Old, and you were like,
I love kind it. Of,
yeah, so.
Yeah, dude, M. Night's rarely let me down. I mean, he has a few times, but for the most part, I'm sure it's going to be good. Like I said, I got to get it out of my mind that they're trying to rip off Mr. Mercedes and just go with it, you know?
And you like all the movies that most people don't.
That's okay. Stupid.
That stupid Lady of the Lake one.
I did. I liked it. So put that on the back of a Horror Returns t-shirt. How about that?
I keep wanting to go back and watch it just to see what you liked about it, but I just end up telling myself, no, there's other things to watch.
Better, I just remember the guy careful. With the one big arm.
You better be careful, Brian, or you might all of a sudden have this strange patron sign up named like Lucky Lamborghini or something that makes us watch it.
We're going to watch all the shitty M. Night movies. The Village, that's got to be on there, right?
That's one of my favorites of his.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. You like all the ones that everybody hates.
Absolutely. Wow. One of your favorites.
Dude, yes.
In my mind right loved now. It. All right, that's the trailer part.
On to listener feedback. I apologize that you have to suffer through my voice right now. Because I'm a little on the sick side, but we'll get there.
Hey, before you do though, there's one YouTube channel that we want to shout out. Brian, you sent me the link. You wanna do the honors for Sarah of Horror?
That's for next week, Lance.
Oh shit! Okay.
Tune in next week for that.
Your Vegas trip confused you.
Okay. Oh boy, did it ever.
We're gonna call that a teaser. Okay. So this
shout out Sarah before, though.
Yeah. And this week, we're going to shine the podcast spotlight on Cast of the Living Dead, Horror Junkies, right? Curtis Barrett, Zach Davis, and Andrew Estep. Sit down to review and discuss various films in the horror genre. Cast of the Living Dead. I like it. Matt Wood says, oi. Lance Langford, what are you saying about Brits and our haircuts? You Yanks created the mullet. And Jerry Herring replied, the mullet was actually created by the Fisher people of Iceland, then became popular in the universities of Poland. Then American South took it and invented it as a sign of freedom. So, yes, we did.
The more you know.
There it is. History of the mullet. Things you never thought you'd want to know. Patrick Moore says, have you seen Heir of the Witch streaming now? Starring Victoria U. Bell. Watch and share, it's free. Thank you for supporting indie filmmakers. Heir of the Witch.
I believe I posted the trailer, but I haven't seen it yet. And excuse Lance getting ice for his drink.
I feel like I've strolled across that. I kind of want to watch it now.
I think it's relatively new. I think it's old or anything.
I'm going to go look for it. Regarding Tubi Tuesday's presentation of Saturn 3, Marcy Papandrea says, this one you don't want to miss. We broke Kevin Nez a few times.
Yes, he told me. He told me
what'd they do, set him off?
Oh, he just was he said they're a hilarious group.
Oh. they are fun. Jen Nangle says, I got to talk to Travis Bruce recently on his podcast Horror Realm, chatting about being a hashtag women in horror and body count. Check out our killer discussion.
It's been a while since we had Jen on the show.
I know. We should totally do that.
Yeah.
We'll have to review a couple of her movies.
Yeah. Or maybe we can send us a screen of the body count.
Yeah.
The show and talk about it, promote it.
And then I'm going to have to try and be nice. regarding The Omen, Donald Muzio says the new prequel does a pretty good job of setting up The Omen. Although they do make one big change. Tim Spencer Lane says it's the nanny's expression and voice that does it for me every time. Absolute contentment. Hmm. What was the one big change?
I don't remember. I think it's why Nez gave it a low score.
Oh, okay.
It didn't line up with the original Omen.
Oh, all right. Well, that's okay. I still like what they did with
it.
Yeah. Fair enough, right?
Yeah. Yep. Regarding
got enough ice, Lance?
Oh yeah, I didn't hit my mute, did I? No.
regarding it, Richard J. De Cesar. Sorry. I'm almost done with the book. It's over 1,100 pages. It's incredible how much was left out of the movie. Oh, really? I've never read the book, but I know there's some questionable...
Oh, with Beverly?
Yeah, kid gangbang scenes.
Yeah. Yikes! Oh, that yeah, one. Yeah, yeah. It, sure.
You could never put that in a movie.
Yeah. I would prefer they didn't. I almost want to read the book for that, but then I almost don't want to read the book for that.
I have the audiobook downloaded, but I just never listened to it.
when you're reading it, and I've read the book twice, it's not as cringy as you would think it would be. It's as tastefully done as you can be. At least they're all kids, right? They didn't have a grown up in there leading them.
That's true.
Hey, dude, come on, man. You're telling me when you're 14, you wouldn't have wanted to get laid? Come on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It
becomes don't lie.
A coming of age thing.
Yeah.
Until you realize it's a, you know.
See it on screen.
4-year-old dude writing it.
See it on the screen is kind of different.
Yeah.
Oh, true. So true. Yeah.
I don't know how tastefully you can make it look.
Not very. Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. Regarding the Maxine poster, Alan Lawless says it looks like a good Harley Quinn cosplay.
That is, it does a little bit when you look at the one with the smeared makeup and all that.
And that's it for listener feedback this week. Our intro and logos come from Steve Carlton from the Geeks.
Get well soon, Steve.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
I think he had some nasal surgery, I think he said.
Oh,
shit.
So he's been a little under the weather trying to recoup from it.
Bet you feel a whole shitload better afterwards, though.
Yeah.
He sounds like he needs some Children of the Corn, Brian.
Oh, we got one scheduled.
And original skull artwork from Natsulani. So, yeah, get better, Steve. If you'd like to help us out, please consider becoming a Patreon patron. We'll let you pick the movies for a future show at any amount. And $5 or more a month, you also get to pick a commentary for a future bonus show. And all right, so Lance, I'll let you explain it. What are we doing right now?
Yeah, it's real simple. If you become a $5 patron with us, $5 or higher level, and stick around for at least 3 months, and then you can fucking jet if you don't like us, but at least stick around for 3 months to cover some of our expense. We will mail you a Horror Returns t-shirt of your choice. You know, you pick the size, you pick the style.
They're really just simple ones, guys.
We will send you a big old baggie full of koozies, at least 6, maybe up to 12, depends on how many I can fit in the single rate envelope at the USPS. And maybe most importantly of all, and definitely cooler than our koozies or t-shirts, we are going to pick out, you don't get to pick it because we want to surprise you. We're going to pick out, based on what we think your personality is, a horror icon pop figurine and have it mailed to you. So you can't beat that.
And Lance, I don't think they made any for the Pet Sematary remake.
As long as they didn't make any for the Creeper, right? We don't want too many of those folks listening to the show. Wait, was that director's name again, Brian? The director.
Oh, Jeepers Creepers?
Yeah.
There's Funko Pops for the Creeper.
Yeah, hopefully not for the director of the film, though.
That would be weird.
That's the literal Creeper. What's
That's
his name
even more
again?
Of a horror story, yeah.
I honestly don't know his name. I kind of...
Naz could tell us. Let's
I kind of blocked his name out of my head.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sure if we only knew half of them in the industry.
True.
Nickelodeon.
Moving on.
All right. So on to featured attractions. Let's see. This week we learned to be careful around vampire girls as we check out the brand new Abigail, as well as the original Let the Right One In. Man. Tongue tied today. I'm sorry.
It is a tongue twister. Yeah.
Words are hard.
I know, man. I'm pretty medicated right now.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let the Right One In from 2008. How did you take with me? Oscar, an overlooked and bullied boy, finds love and revenge. God damn it. You see what I'm saying? Revenge through, what is her name? Ellie in the, is that the way they pronounce it in the movie?
Eli, I think, right?
I think they pronounce it Ellie.
Eli, whatever.
I don't know.
I mean, dude, what is this? Okay, is this Danish, Lars?
Swedish.
Is this a Denmarkian movie?
Swedish?
Okay.
All right.
Or Norwegian or something.
We'll go with Ellie.
Anyway.
We'll Americanize it.
All right.
A beautiful but peculiar girl. Director is Thomas Alfredson, also known for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Writer is John Lindvist. Probably not how you say that. Also,
probably
I know for...
Lindquist.
Yeah, there you go.
I love gold.
I can barely speak in English right now. That's I'm not going to try to do accents. also known for handling the undead.
That sounds dirty.
That does sound dirty. That's what we were just talking about. Several tricks were used to create the right sound effects for some of the gorier scenes. Biting into sausages was used to replicate biting into skin and flesh. And drinking yogurt was used to sound like drinking blood. Oh, that's gross.
Oh, boy.
That's creative, though.
I know.
It is.
I don't know why it's grosser than drinking blood, but it seems...
Yeah, no shit. Gross. Like, we're talking about that like it's horrible, right?
The sound of the children blinking was made by the skin of grapes rubbing together in an almost blinking motion. Huh.
Hmm.
I did not notice that.
The word vampire is only said in the film once.
Yes, I did notice that.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Brian? We'll start with you. What did you think about Let the Right One In?
This is a great vampire film. I think it's like probably top 10 vampire films ever made.
And there's a lot of them, so that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I just love how different the story is. It's because it's basically a romantic vampire movie. Because you get this troubled kid, this bully kid.
Yeah.
And then you get this, who you think is a little girl, and you kind of find out she's not a little girl. She's a very old vampire, and they just kind of have this, they kind of find each other at the time when they kind of needed somebody. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was kind of a beautiful part to the story. And I love they use some of the mythology to the movie. Obviously, it's in the title, to Let Me In, because I love that scene when... I love that scene when he didn't invite her in and she forced her way in, and what was happening to her. Because I don't think we've ever really seen that, as far as I can think of, in a vampire movie. Because usually they just don't come in.
Yeah.
Well, Fright Night, right? Fright Night, where the mother let him in, and he's like, "Mom, why did you let him in?"
I mean, what could happen to the vampire? Yeah,
the rule's already there, but you've never seen the consequences. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I loved Ellie. I loved her portrayal of the vampire, because you can tell she doesn't want to kill people. Mm-hmm. Even the guy, the older gentleman that's kind of like her, I guess, handler or whatever, gets her food. He doesn't want to do this shit either. And everybody's just kind of conflicted into what they're doing, but they got to do what they got to do. And a lot of the effects were really good too.
I have a question about the old guy. So I watched this and then watched Let Me In right after.
Richard Jenkins was great, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so in Let Me In, she's really fucking mean to that guy.
Well,
she wasn't really mean to him in this one, was she?
To me, and Let Me In, it was a little more obvious that you know, the vampire was actually young or older. I'm sorry, older than the quote unquote father, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't as clear in this one, or did I miss that?
I think it's they explained it a little bit more. That he met her in the remake. He met her when she was younger,
right?
Kind of was given this position, this job to care for her.
Well, right. I think that's what I assumed in this one too.
I think it's the same thing. I just think she this version of Ellie treated him less harshly.
Yes, that's what I meant.
I think in the remake, they just kind of grew apart over time.
Yeah, they changed a couple of little things in the remake, but didn't change the, you know, the heart of the story.
Sure. Or the main scenes and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. But I just had that question because I was like, man, I don't remember her being such an asshole to this guy.
Right?
Yeah, I think
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Even though he was conflicted in what he was doing and didn't want to do it, I think he still cared for her because you got that scene where he's about to get caught by the police and he just pours acid on his face so he can.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't know who he was. So, you know, they wouldn't be led to where she was.
Those are really tense scenes in this one, too.
Yeah. And Lance, you get real fire in this one. The lady that knows what she finally realizes what she is and what she has to do, and she doesn't want to do it, so she just has the nurse open the blinds.
Well, that's okay, Brian, because we got CGI.
Cool.
We got CGI enhanced cats.
Yeah, the special effects maybe were not the greatest in this one.
Not on the cats.
Well, part, right? the CGI wasn't the greatest. I think some of the practicals were.
Yeah.
Brian, what did you think about the swimming pool scene? Was that not filmed beautifully?
Yeah, don't be a fucking bully or you get your head lopped off and you're missing an arm or whatever the fuck was going on.
That was great.
The movie kind of pisses you off because this kid is being bullied and you're kind of seeing what he could be turned into. Because I think because he has a fascination with death, he's like, got newspaper clippings of murders and stuff, and I think it's all led from him being constantly bullied and picked on every day.
Sure.
And then it pissed me off when he finally just whacked that kid in the head with that stick. But he still gets in trouble for it.
Well, of course he did, but that was totally worth it.
True.
But yeah, fantastic overall film. I love the direction. Some of the shots, like you said, I think you brought it up, Lance, were beautiful. So I thought the acting was pretty solid because, you know, kid actors could really derail a film sometimes. But I thought...
Oscar.
Very weird.
Yeah.
I think he was cast perfectly because
when
you see him, you're like, oh, this is the fucking vampire right here, this fucking kid.
Yeah, I thought you said he was Casper, and I was like, you're right.
But then you find out he's like kind of meek and bullied, and I thought he just kind of played the role perfect. And then Ellie just kind of looked like a child, but I think she played it off pretty
good. Yeah.
Come off like a child sometimes, so I really enjoyed this one.
Lance, what do you think?
Yeah, it was a great story, you know, very original, right, for a vampire story. And I actually saw Let Me In first, and I'm like, wow, this movie's incredible. And I think Let Me In is directed by Matt Reeves, right? That's doing all the, you know, most recently, he's most famous for all the new Planet of the Apes movies.
He did The Batman with Robert Pattinson.
Did The Batman. That's right. That's right. So
come on, Breen. 10 Cloverfield Lane. No, I think he did Cloverfield, the original.
I think they were both pretty good.
Yeah.
They're both really good. Yeah, they're both really good. I'm not, you know, meaning to draw comparisons and everything. Now, you guys are right. The kid was cast perfectly, like super Oscar or whatever. He was like super, super weird. But
Irish there, Lance.
Okay. I don't know if it was just one particular scene where you could really see how dramatic the cuts on his hair were. But I thought, oh my God, this is fucking Simple Jack. I don't know. And then when he did that weird thing with his mouth, like, you know, distorting his mouth. And weird kid, man. Weird kid.
Like, well, I think he was supposed to be weird, a little different.
Obviously. Sure. I get it. And then, you know, the weird, you know, gender uncertainty about the vampire. From what I understand, they go into a lot more, you know, detail in the novel. Because I think the novel explains that it was originally a male who was castrated, right? To, yeah, like, serve under a vampire or something like that. They didn't totally go into that, but what? I kind of enjoyed that. No, I kind of enjoyed that gender uncertainty. That was kind of weird, and it sort of kept you off balance. And
yeah, I didn't take it that way at all. That's weird.
But
because
now that you're talking about it, sorry, yeah, Phil. Now that you're talking about it, the whole I'm not a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe in this mythology, you don't have a gender when you're a vampire or something.
It's well, fascinating, right?
I took the way they do. Like when she said, "I'm not a girl," I took it to mean that she's not a human.
Yeah. But exactly. That's exactly what.
Or she could be telling him, "I'm not a girl. I'm a really fucking old woman."
Well, yeah.
That's true too. And was it just me that I was so stoned when I watched it last night? Or were there like scenes where it would like change to maybe a man in costume? Or was I tripping?
I think you were tripping.
Okay.
I mean, maybe for the stunt doubles, but I don't think so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
well,
but
it wasn't like a full blown "I'm gonna get you sucker," right?
No.
Scene in the diner.
She had a mustache.
And especially since we're watching it in a foreign language, and sometimes the translations may become across a little different. And so when she said, sure, "I'm not a girl," that was I didn't take it to mean I'm not a like female. I'm not a person. I'm dead.
Sure.
You know. And maybe it was something that was lost in translation a little bit. Although they did it and Let Me In also.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
great. I'm just kind of thinking back to all. I think just little parts of the story just kind of were clicking for me. Just the whole, like, she originally tried to refuse the friendship with him because she knows she can't have a normal friendship.
Yeah.
Just little parts like that, I think, were just adding to the story for me.
Yeah, for me, that swimming pool scene just did it. Like, when I was like, you know, this movie's a little slow. I love slow burn, but this is a little too slow burn. And then you got that fucking big brother bully, and he pushes his head under the water, and he's holding his head. And then you see all that carnage going on, and I'm like,
see the feet just go through the swimming pool?
Yes, that was.
I like how she left, if you notice, she left the third kid there alive.
Yeah,
he's sitting on the bench
just
right?
Fucking crying his eyes out.
Right? He'll never be the same. I enjoyed it. Great pick, Brian. Dude, you are very good, Brian, at lining up the movies, because this fit perfectly into the next one.
Tell me more about myself, Lance.
Yeah, man. I love this movie. I watched it originally. I watched it first before Let Me In came out, I think, because I'd heard so much buzz around it. And it's a beautiful movie, man. Like, I think the original catches something. Even though it's a shot-for-shot remake, the original catches something that's a little more unique. Like, the atmosphere is different.
Sure, sure.
There's something different about this one that makes it a better movie. And part of it may be because it is in a foreign language, which is cool, you know? It makes it seem very, like, in the lore. You know?
Yeah, I gotcha. I totally get it, man.
And I think, I think the kids did a great job. It's kind of a coming of age, kind of a love story. And it's like, you know, I bought it, you know, like they worked out well together, even though the vampire's probably thousands of years old or whatever. But this also genuinely seemed like the first like real connection that girl had.
Yeah, I like how they had their own little way. I like the way they had their own way of communicating with the little Morse code.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh, that was pretty cool, right? Where he was tapping on the wall there so they could talk.
Yeah.
So they never really give you a backstory for the old guy.
I kind of took it as. Go ahead.
Is that maybe who the old guy was? You know what I mean? Like a past boyfriend who just takes care of her forever?
That's how I took it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this is going to be the new old guy?
Yeah, except I think. I don't think he'll have a issue with protecting her and doing things for her.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way their kind of bond was growing, I think eventually, and his, of course, obsession with death and murder. I think it's a bond that's not going to fade away as he gets older. I think he's just going to continue to help her. At least that's just how I see it playing out.
Yeah, I think this is the new old guy. So maybe she's done this over and over again. And that's how she gets the old guy.
I think you're right, dude. Yeah, I totally do, man. Totally got that impression.
But yeah, man, it was a really interesting, unique vampire story. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was a book.
Yeah, I guess it was a book, and then, you know, you got two movies out of it and a TV series that, what, only lasted a season, Brian?
Yeah, I watched like 3 or 4 episodes. It was pretty good.
Okay.
But then, you know, the networks, if it doesn't hit certain numbers, we'll just cancel it. And
yeah.
I think they even did that thing where they just pulled it off of I think it was Showtime. I think they just pulled it off, so you can't even stream it.
What? So I can't even go watch it now?
Yeah, which I think is stupid because that's, I think, ridiculous. Things later kind of find an audience.
Yeah. No doubt.
I mean, imagine them just pulling Hannibal off because they canceled
it. I was thinking the same exact thing, dude. Hannibal. Yeah. That's the first thing I thought, too.
I mean, I'm not comparing it to Hannibal. Hannibal's a fucking great show. Subscribe to our Patreon to listen to those reviews. But I thought it was worth a watch, at least, you know, for a first season. Not, you know, I don't think it should have been pulled from the streaming platforms.
I never saw the show. Check it out.
Yeah. It gets more in depth in the relationship. I think in the show, it's the actual father-daughter.
All right, I'll give it some thought, but if they're going to only do one season and then leave you on like a cliffhanger, fuck that shit. Not interested. Yes.
Well, it felt like an A24 movie to me.
Yeah.
I can see that.
All right. Scores, Brian?
Easy 9 on 10.
Damn. Right.
Lance?
I'll go 7.5 on this one.
All right. I'm going to go 9 also. This is one of my favorites.
You guys watched it
that year. Yeah.
Yeah, it gives you all the familiar vampire things, but yet is also original in the story.
It's real slow. You got to be in the mood for it, but it's a real good movie.
Yeah. Don't be a fucking bully.
Well, at some point you go past bully and you're into like criminal sociopath territory.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right.
That's so kind of overkill there, huh? Is that like a Swedish thing, or I know we had some bullies, but they weren't like that. And
but bullies in movies are.
Yeah. Are they? I don't know. I don't like bullies, and then I just like seeing them get their comeuppance, especially the kid that gets popped in the head with the stick. His older brother shows up, and he's the one holding him underwater, talking about if you come up for air, I'm going to stab your eye out. Fuck that. Where's that stick?
You got to have irredeemable bad guys in the movie.
And what is this? We've got a special guest that arrived. It's Matthew Goodrow from Percolated Media. What's up, Matthew?
Yeah, I got out of the handcuffs and managed to find my way onto Skype. Thank you all for having me once again, even though it's been a while.
Very nice. Yeah.
Glad to have you back.
Haven't been that long. All right. So, writer, podcaster, co-founder of Percolated Media. What you guys got going on right now, Matthew?
This year has been crazy. We have in the process right now of closing out our penultimate installment of our Night Shift retrospective for Stephen King. So we'll be talking about The Lawnmower Man 2. beyond Cyberspace.
I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
This whole night shift has largely been a chore, but, you know, my fellow co-founder is the definition of completionism, borderline sadist. But
yes,
I didn't even know that was a thing. Lawnmower Man 2.
Oh, me neither, until I saw it on the schedule. And I'm the one who makes the goddamn schedule. So when I came back and said, all right, we got the Lawnmower Man, then we're going to close out Planet of the Apes for the new one. He goes, nope, there's a Lawnmower Man sequel. And I said, oh, you son of a bitch. But we got Planet of the Apes 2.0 starting very soon to coincide with this new Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. We're going back to Star Wars this year to talk about the Disney films. We're talking Alien this year, Mad Max. We got a ton of awesome retrospectives on the calendar this year. So it's going to be one of our busier years for sure.
Very nice. Very nice. So what's your favorite out of all those that you're going to be covering?
I would say, based on what we've taped already, which is almost everything, this Planet of the Apes retrospective that we've been doing, I think, is one of our best collection of shows. It's been a property I've wanted to cover for a long time. But I have a feeling that Alien is going to make for very spirited discussions, especially if you know Garrett's thoughts on the original movie. And I will actually retract everything I just said, because knowing my two co-hosts, I think the Disney Star Wars era, there's going to be body bags needed at the end of some of these shows. Because I know where I stand. I don't know where they stand. And based on the fact it's the internet and Star Wars, there's going to be more haymakers than a Rocky movie.
I love it.
Always a fun debate.
Well, dude, we're glad you were inspired enough by Abigail to jump on, but you know how we do it around here, man. You got to have a cool of the week or you're not allowed to play the game. So what's the coolest thing you've watched, read, video game you've played? It could be anything, dude. What is your cool of the week?
So my cool of the week is actually going a little bit retro. I went to a local yard sale just on a whim looking for some stuff, and I bought an old GameCube, which I have not.
Nice.
I haven't owned one since I was probably 11 or 12. And I'm looking through the box of all the different games. I grab a couple. And I grabbed the one I want to highlight because I haven't played it in so long. And it's, I think, now cemented in my top 10 favorite games. It is the O2 remake of the first Resident Evil game.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's probably my favorite game franchise if you forced me to pick one, certainly in the survival horror grouping. I know some of the games have steered more in the action way, but I would actually argue, I think this, the remake of the OG might be the best game in the series as far as, you know, visual upgrades. Certainly they've done good remakes before, but they kept the gameplay almost entirely identical, fixed the hokey dialogue, added the Crimson Heads to add some more tension, and playing the game on hard mode has really tested my ability to keep the remote control in my hands. So yeah, it's been a good practice for me, and it's been fun to rediscover that because it's been so long since I played it.
That was definitely the best game of the series, though. Like the original one, I loved playing that. So yeah, I played the remake a little bit, and it was pretty awesome.
Oh, you video game nerds. All right. Well, we do have a movie to cover here. So.
You young kids.
What do we got going on next, Philip?
All right, on to Abigail from 2024. We got a little bit of trivia.
You all came highly recommended. You know the rules. No real names, no backstories, no cell phones.
So whose kid is she?
A very wealthy man who's about to be $50 million poorer.
I'm here to make sure you're safe.
What's your name? Mine's Abigail.
You can call me Joey.
Do you have any kids?
I have a little boy.
See you in 24 hours.
Do you know what a pinky promise is? If you behave and do as we say, like pinky promise you, it'll all be over soon.
Joey?
Yeah.
I'm sorry about what's gonna happen to you.
After a group of criminals kidnap the ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, they retreat to an isolated mansion, unaware that they're locked inside with no normal little girl. Directors are Matt Benatelli, Benatelli Open, and Tyler Gillette. I don't know. Writers Stephen Shields and Guy Busick. In an interview with Total Film, the directors felt they needed to apologize to the cast for the volume of blood that they used on set. They said, all of our movies are bloody, but I would say this is definitely the most bloody. We spent a lot of time apologizing to our actors in this movie. I mean, blood is the DNA of a vampire movie, and the amount of blood work in this one, it's pretty extreme. But it's still fun. And, yeah, I think I agree with that.
So, the reason why I wanted to jump on this show is this is a movie that I went in as cold as possible. I actually did not see the trailer, so I wasn't aware that the marketing gave away the big reveal.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But I was intrigued by these directors, Radio Silence. I've been a fan of theirs ever since I saw the first VHS, and I don't think that's a great collective anthology. I do think their segment was the best one by far.
It's the Haunted House one, right?
Yeah, and I've really liked everything they've done since. I'm notorious back in the binge days, Lance, when we did the Scream sequels 2 through 4. Didn't really care for any of them. And while I can't say that 5 is great, I had a good time, and 6 is probably my favorite of the sequels in tandem with what they did with Ready or Not, which was also a pleasant surprise. Again, movie I didn't know anything about. I've been championing these guys for a while in a genre that is always looking for new blood, no pun intended. I think these guys have done a good job at championing and keeping this with both new properties or old properties with, you know, bringing back Scream for another time. I've been impressed with what they do. They seem smart. They seem knowledgeable, but not in that smug, you know, overly meta internet film geek kind of way that some directors can come off. So this was something I was excited about even before it was released. But like I said, I managed to avoid the trailers.
I imagine that made it a lot better movie.
Oh, absolutely did.
Yeah, that's a pretty big reveal. All right.
Do you want me to give my take on the movie, like quick 30-second thought?
Yeah, no spoilers. We'll get to spoilers later.
Overall, had a really good time with it. I did have some complaints that we'll sort of get into, but I think this is one of those great examples of having a very limited concept, all things considered, and certainly nothing that we have not seen before. But it's the power. It's one of those examples of the power of casting in your character work that really carries this thing. Yeah, I think they got a great ensemble together to add some depth to these archetypes that we've seen a million times. And I thought these directors had a lot of fun with some of the tropes they play with. And in a year where I've seen quite a few things out in the theaters, this was probably my most enjoyable experience of the year. Not perfect by any means, but a very, very pleasant surprise, especially after last year when, to go back to our site, we did Megan just on a whim because...
Right.
Garrett wanted to talk about it because of the trailer hooked him so much, and I was really let down by it, all things considered. This, okay. I saw Abigail, and then I watched the trailer on YouTube, and I wanted to smack these studio executives for...
I know! I thought the same thing.
Yeah, but that's my take.
And I can understand that, but we were actually talking about it before we even started the show, and I was like, well, how else are you going to sell it? Without making it obvious that it's a vampire movie. You know?
I think there is one thing. When we get into the actual plot, I think there's one thing you could have sold it on that they hint at.
Brian, what'd you think?
Despite knowing what I know from the trailer, I still, just based on what the directors have done with their past movies, I was still kind of anticipating this. And after watching this, I had a blast watching this. I thought the comedy hit for me when there was comedy. It was gory, bloody. The cast was, I thought, great. I enjoyed everybody in the cast.
Yeah, really good characters.
I thought they gave us enough to know each member of the cast, each member of this group that, well, you already know from the trailer, the member of the group that kidnaps this little girl. I thought we got enough to know each character. And I thought the little girl, I thought I had her name pulled up. I thought she did a great job portraying this vampire ballerina, and she made it a lot of fun. And there's a lot of stuff I want to get to in spoilers, but yeah, I had a blast with this one.
All right, Lance, what'd you think?
Yeah, this is going to be one of the shortest first rounds ever, because after seeing that trailer and probably about 15 minutes into the movie, I was fucking pissed. I was like, fuck you. I really honestly wish I'd gone into this not knowing that she was a vampire and thinking she was just a poor little girl. And maybe there's something else going on in the house, like maybe there's a ghost or someone else in there with them, or like a Scooby-Doo type thing where you got to stay in there 24 hours or whatever. But I was just so pleasantly surprised with all the twists. And the twists didn't take that long to get going, but boy, once they started coming, they were fast and furious, one right after the other. So I'll say this. I don't want to say too much because I'm afraid I will accidentally spoil something, but this may not be my favorite movie of the year so far. That would probably go to Immaculate, but this was definitely the funnest.
You sure movie it's not of the Night year Swim? So far.
Fuck you, Brian. I will never live that down.
Madam Web. I still haven't watched Madam Web.
I mean, that was the scariest thing I've seen all year.
I know.
Haven't seen it. I'll never see it, Matthew.
I'm going to have to come up with a bottom 10 list, so I know I'm going to have to watch it, but I don't want to.
Oh, that's
Lance, I would say it just because you love Dakota Johnson so much, but don't even bother.
I know.
That's saying a lot that I'm not bothering, right? Considering
I don't like watching shitty Marvel movies. It makes me sad.
Well, that's all Sony.
What was that?
Well, that's all Sony's been putting out with their Spider-Man Extended Universe. So
I know. It's rough.
It's almost like they're doing it out of spite.
I think it seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a certain part of them that's just sort of trolling the diehard fans, taking these tertiary characters like Morbius and Madam Web and really not doing them any semblance of justice.
I know. I was really excited about the Morbius one, too. And then it was garbage. All right. Abigail. So I can kind of forgive them giving the I don't know if it's really a twist, but it is a main plot line.
Sure.
It's kind of fun to go into it knowing that she's a vampire, and you're like the whole first of the half of the movie, you're like, oh, they're fucking up. So that was a little bit of fun. But yeah, it would have been probably a better movie going into it blind, although I don't know if as many people would have gone to see it had they not given the fun part away in the trailer.
Yeah, it would have been hard to make that trailer, right?
Yeah. But yeah, this I had a pretty great time. I loved everybody in the cast. And yeah, the Angus Cloud guy, I was watching that, that other movie you were talking about, Brian, that he was in.
Your Lucky Day.
Yeah. I was watching that and my wife came by and she was like, oh, that's the guy from Euphoria that killed himself. This must be his last movie. And then I was watching him in this and I'm like, are we talking about the same person here? 'Cause that's the same guy. But he was pretty great actor. Yeah. Sucks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, everybody else did a pretty great job, and I had a great I don't know how much I can talk about with the without spoiling it, but obviously there's going to be some kills in this movie. The kills were amazing. I loved them, like a lot.
Yeah, fair enough.
There was blood everywhere. All right, scores, Matthew. What do you think?
This is a very enthusiastic, I'm going to give this 8 onions out of 10. And if you've seen the movie,
nice.
That fucking big guy, I don't know his name.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Kevin Durant. Not the guy who plays for the Suns. That's Kevin Durant.
There you go, Brian.
I love that dude and everything that he's in.
That guy's fucking huge too. Like, just putting him next to everybody else in this movie, and it's weird because he plays the heavy in almost everything he's in, given his size. But this is the first time where he's somewhat likable, because normally he's just, you know, either the silent muscle or like a scumbag.
But he's really funny in this one.
What's with his accent, though, right? What was that, Rocky? Like, oh, Adrian! Did he have marbles in his mouth, or what?
Well, they said he was French-Canadian, and there's very, like, small affectations if you listen to his cadence.
All right. I'll buy that, Matthew. I'll buy that.
All right. Scores. You said 8. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with him. This is an easy 8. A lot of fun. Love the cast. The trailer spoiling didn't really bother me. I just went in with it to have some fun. And yeah, great vampire movie.
Wow. So far, so good. We're all at 8.
You too?
Yeah, 8. Eight on 10.
8 on 10. I think that sounds like a pretty fair score. This was a lot.
We hit it.
Yeah. And see, I really enjoyed Megan last year when I watched it, but it's because I didn't see any of the trailers or anything. And, but this one is like Megan to me, but it's actually a better movie. And we'll get into it in spoilers. Let's go to spoilers.
This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned.
The exploding blood bag kills were fantastic. I loved it every time it happened.
Glad it wasn't just for sunlight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad it happened more than once.
Oh, yeah. Well, the best thing is there's, with the first one, there's like a 3-second delay after he gets stabbed. So you just think, you think they're gonna do like the blade thing where the skeleton burns up where he turns to ash? Nope, he explodes like a grenade went off at his chest.
It's comedic timing.
And you brought it up, the onions. I got a good chuckle out of that because was it Dan Stevens was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Not garlic, those are fucking onions.
And I don't
cook. And I really enjoyed Melissa Barrera in this. I'm glad she you know, with her old, you know, I'm doing air quotes controversy because it wasn't really controversial to me. But her getting kicked off the screen and able to be in this movie, I'm glad she's still able to get work because I thought she was great in this.
Well, wow, I thought we had a lot more talk.
I know. What spoilers are there?
So is she our new Samara Weaving or what, guys?
No, she looks like her character reminded me of what's her name from Don't Breathe.
Oh, okay. Jane Levy.
I can see that.
Yeah. Because it's that same, like, you know, she's the thief with a conscience. You know, she's like the only one who seems of decent moral because much like Don't Breathe, she has a kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. I can see that.
And that was the one thing. So I mentioned in the preamble what I thought you could have sold the movie on. They dropped that. There's that subplot where they tease you about the hitman.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Think one person's like the hit person who's infiltrated to wipe them all out. You could have sold it on that sort of like Predator where they're being hunted.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. That would have been a good way to keep it out, the vampire out.
Yeah, it's like the Don't Breathe, like a mix of Don't Breathe and some of those other, or like Wait Until Dark with Audrey Hepburn, something like that. I thought when the vampire thing actually happened, because this thing I had, it was the biggest mind fuck for me when it actually happened. I liked that with the teeth. It's not just rows of jagged teeth. There's a lot of neat little references, like visually, between her design, and there's when he's covered in blood, he's got the glasses on, he looks just like Bill Paxton from Near Dark. And I don't think that was coincidence.
Probably not. Yeah, and they had the like when the one was bitten, you get the kind of glossy skin there, which was in the movie we just saw, Let the Right One In. The same thing happened, right? When they were kind of, and I like the way they were puppeteers rather than, you know, just making another vampire or like them being, you know, like somebody like the old man that goes out and kills people for him. I enjoyed that puppet aspect. I thought that was pretty
cool. Yeah, I love that too, Lance. And I love that Dan Stevens tried to do that later with Marissa Barrera's character.
Yeah.
Sure.
Abigail had to let him know you have to learn these tricks over years, over time.
That was a great,
you just don't do it.
It's fun. She said, some of this shit, you got to get really fucking old to learn or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's the whole, I think that girl, by the way, the only thing I've seen her in is the Matilda musical that they did on Netflix. I think she's going to be a big star because much like Dan Stevens, who I think is fantastic, and I think she's got a lot of range. And I buy her, you know, looks young, but has lived for seemingly centuries. I thought that was handled really well. The movie really reminded me of, I think it's a better version of From Dusk Till Dawn, where it's the same type of conceit where the characters don't realize they're in a vampire movie until the audience does. Okay. But I like how, unlike From Dusk Till Dawn, there's no Quentin Tarantino being such an abysmal actor to suck, to be his own vampire, suck the energy out of the movie. Like everyone in this, like, I thought Catherine Newton was great. I'm glad she's embracing her, you know, borderline scream queen horror persona that she's had lately.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, not a lot for me to complain about, really.
Okay, so I've got a plot point I want to talk to you guys about. Was I the only one that kind of thought until Matthew Good actually finally showed up that there was no father?
I don't know. I did get the impression that that they were, vampires were a little more scarce. Like it was, there's just a few of them, you know.
I didn't get
they were scarce because she kept referring to the organization.
Right.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Well, see, I took that to mean like their organization where there's one vampire in charge because nobody can fucking do anything about it.
Yeah.
Leaving it open for sequels, maybe.
Well, until they had their little worker bees that were vampires too. So
yeah, Giancarlo Esposito found out he's just basically a puppet too.
Yep,
he's kind of great in everything, is he not?
Overexposed, but yeah. No, I honestly thought
I don't hate it. I like him.
Well, until you got that one scene, and who better to play the vampire than Matthew Good, right? But I honestly thought that she was the mastermind of everything and that we were going to find out. Because I noticed when they showed the painting on the wall with her and, you know, quote unquote, father, his face was always covered. Like he had a hat on and you couldn't see. And I thought, this is where they're going with it. But nope, they twisted it yet again at the very end. So I liked all the twists, right? Like the puppet and then what you think is going to happen doesn't happen. And then certain people turn into vampires and then fucking Dan Stevens hamming it up, right? I haven't seen that seem to be his thing lately, right? Well, that's like Blade level hamming it up. Am I right, Matthew?
Yeah. He's Steven Dorfing it in a good way because you know that's really the only other beat Steven Dorf has actually been good in.
Ooh, ouch!
I can't remember the last time I've seen that dude.
Been a while.
I was gonna bring up. I love the way she maintained her ballerina character throughout the movie. Even like when she's chasing people down, she's doing little ballet leaps over obstacles and
ballerina spins. / ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that really got me about this movie that brought it up from like you know a 7 to an 8 is. The set design was gorgeous, and it kind of looked like the house, obviously. I was talking to Pat earlier, and he was like, that kind of looked like the same exact house from Ready or Not, just with different decorations in it. And so, like, you've got all the paintings on the wall. You've got all the old stuff that she's collected over the years, and I guess the father's, you know, collected over the years. And then you've got just a gorgeous horror movie score. Like, for a minute, I honestly thought I was watching, and it was the one scene where Barrera was going through the house, and, like, you had that strong, powerful score behind her, and she's looking at all these weird oddities and stuff like that, and I'm like, this is like an old Universal monster movie, like the old black and white ones. So I really appreciate the way that they showed so much homage to other stuff, you know?
Well, with all the you know, mansion architecture, trap doors, the elevator, I thought this was a Resident Evil movie. Like, this might as well have been the Spencer Mansion with all the traps and stuff. But I like the set design. This is really good. And I like that for a house that is seemingly huge, they do a good job of establishing a layout within the context of the movie, so you don't feel like you're getting lost. Like, you have a good idea of what the floor plan of this place looks like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and then, like, when they're all in the bar and they're taking advantage of the, you know, the alcohol bottles and stuff like that. it was pretty cool, man. I just, great set design, great score, and beautifully filmed movie. They did a good job on this. I'm like you guys, I'm looking forward to seeing everything else that they do after this.
Well, speaking of development of this, did you know this was supposed to be part of the Dark Universe at one point?
Yeah.
No.
I think that's why it went so... it was like an untitled for a while, Universal Monster movie.
It was going to be called Dracula's Daughter. That was going to be, you know, playing off the original Universal one from like 1936.
That makes sense. That's what it felt like.
Makes perfect sense, yeah. Makes perfect sense.
But, you know, much like some of the vampires in this movie, that Dark Universe exploded with blood after one flop, so they kind of reworked it, and you know, there's something more. If you look at the posters and that stuff, it looks more like the Bad Seed or those, you know, children from Hell movies that we've gotten a ton of.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a vampire movie, which this is.
Sure. Yeah, it's the only complaint I have is I do wish, Matthew, that I had known she was going to be a vampire. Because that would have added to, wait, what's going on inside the house? Like, because I don't think they really, did they show for sure that it was her when the first guy died? Or am I misremembering the
No.
Kill?
No.
Okay. They thought didn't know who it was.
Yeah, they thought who her people were there to rescue her and were in the house.
All right. All right. Well, they kind of pulled a boner by giving way too much away in the trailer, but I'll forgive them. It was a great movie, funnest movie of the year so far. So, you guys ready to take it out for the night?
Yep.
All right, Matthew. Thanks for joining us, dude. Where is Percolated Media? Where can we find you?
So you can find me on the airwaves at percolatedmedia.net. We drop a new show every Friday.
All right. And as always, of course, we want to thank all of you gracious people for sticking with us for another episode. Consider becoming a Patreon patron. It's definitely not a requirement. We want everybody to listen, but we do want to send you some cool free shit. So at least give it a thought, and just go to our website, thehorrorreturns.com. Next week, I hope Nez is on the show, Brian.
I'm going to see what I can do. I know it's a special subject.
Well, we're going to talk some spiders with the brand new Infested, or as we knew it when we saw the trailer, Vermines, I guess is pronounced right, as well as Arachnophobia. So, Philip, until the horror returns again.
Good night. Oh, that one sounded great.